Welcome to Saimu Series, a podcast about mental health. We will touch on popular topics and insights from professionals from Saimu. Hi, everyone. This is Sally, and this is Saimu's podcast. And today, we have Himal Das. He is a wonderful therapist. Hi, Himal. How are you?
Good. How are you, Sally?
Great. Himal, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first, thank you for inviting me to this talk. So I am a registered psychotherapist. I work in Ontario, and I focus on anxiety, depression-related issues, and also trauma. I trained in EMDR and brain spotting. So yeah, that's a little bit about me in terms of work.
Amazing. And today we're going to talk about happiness and how people perceive happiness. And this is a very interesting topic because not everybody perceives happiness the same way, I believe. Like, what is happiness? Like, and how can people feel happiness?
So, that's, I think, very important question, right? So we talk about happiness. We want to figure out what it is. So most people that I ask that question, so what is happiness to you, right? And I don't know, you can jump in, Sally, and you can, you know, maybe answer that question. What is happiness to you? Well, how would you answer it?
Right. I guess I would answer happiness as like something that is like achieving something in my life that is getting me some gain, like with joy. Could be something. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, but that's just me. It could be something that could be different. You might perceive some happiness differently.
Exactly. And most people answer pretty much the same way. It's the happiness means feeling good, feeling joy, right? So this is where we want to get into a little bit, I guess, a deeper conversation. So if happiness is about feeling joy and feeling good, then we have this idea, I want to be happy, right? The purpose of my life is to be happy, right? So what does that mean? Does that mean we want to just feel happy, right, all the time, right? So now let's look into, I guess, different aspects of our life, right? So for example, let's say you go to a funeral and you lose a loved one, right? Are you supposed to feel happy, right? So how does that work?
Yeah, that's such a confusing question because like for me, when I go to a funeral, it's always a mixed feeling because I might be a weird one because at a funeral, I'm happy to see everybody because I haven't seen them for a long time. If it's a person that went through such suffering, it is called a celebration of life, depending on the funeral. Like for me, I always feel a little bit confused at a funeral because I kind of am a person who kind of acts kind of, let's say, odd. Like I'm happy, I giggle, I laugh. When I'm nervous, I laugh. When something's scary, I laugh. but like, it's not saying that I'm happy, but I am happy to be there. And even though I'm sad, so that's like a weird, for me, that's like a weird situation.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Exactly. So like you mentioned, you know, you feel confused a little bit, you feel sad, but you also feel happy because we are celebrating that person's life. Now, you just mentioned three feelings. All right. Now, if let's say I have a purpose or I want to be happy, and we define happiness as joy, right? How would that work? Because we can go into, even now, you know, I am happy to, you know, be here talking to you, but I'm also feeling a little nervous, right? If you look at my hands, you know, it's like it's sweating a little bit, right? Right? And that's anxiety, right? So then if my purpose of my life is to be happy, what does that mean? Right? So that's where I think defining happiness is very important. So most people that I have talked to, they say happiness means, you know, it's the feeling good, right? But is it really possible to feel good all the time, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking, like feeling good, like life is not always like good in a way of like, I feel like it's kind of funny to be like an optimist for a whole day. Like that could get tiring. I feel like a life, you need up and downs, or else you won't know what happiness is if you never feel sadness.
Yeah, exactly. If you feel happiness all the time, then how would you know that it's happiness if you never felt sadness before?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very good question. And you talked about, you know, feeling happiness throughout the day. So let's talk about the happiest day of your life, right? I often ask that question, what would be the happiest day of your life, right? And people come up with answers like, oh, it's when I got married or when I had my kid, right? And then we talk about that. We say, okay, let's, you know, get into the details, all right, about that day. And then people say things like, I can't believe, you know, he was late in our wedding, you know, or I can't believe I forgot the dress, or something else. I'm like, okay, that sounds like, you know, there were other feelings were involved even in your happiest day of your life. Or I was so nervous when I, you know, my child was born, and I was waiting in the waiting room to hear the news, right? So, or, you know, I was in pain during birth of my child. So then, you know, so that's a bit challenging if we just want to be happy, and if we define happiness as just feeling good or joy. So there are probably, you know, different ideology or myth that comes with happiness that we often think that correlates with, you know, what happiness is. So one of them is, you know, happiness is the natural state of of a human being. But if you really investigate, you know, even like the happiest day of your life, or if you investigate, you know, one's life, you probably will figure out that, you know, we have a whole range of emotions, and they're very, you know, they're very important and necessary. We cannot just feel happy. And the purpose of our life, you know, probably not going to be possible to just feel happy. Right.
Yeah, I was like thinking, like, kind of like on the flip side too, like how about for people who like feeling joy from making people like bad and depressed? You know, there's some people that are always so depressed, and then when they love to impose like depression on other people, and when they make them notice that they made them feel bad, that makes them happy. I know, like, that sounds really bad, but like I'm like thinking when you're talking about that, I was like going to the part of like, what if those people like are like, they're depressed and angry, but they're happy that you're depressed. Are they happy?
Yeah, exactly. So from a, I guess you're talking about like from a societal perspective, you know, some people are happy, but they're doing bad things. All right. So is happiness good all the time? Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's like, you know, some people do crimes and feel happy. But then happiness, you know, at some point, if you look at the in certain contexts, it could be, you know, from a societal perspective, not a good thing. So that's another myth that I want to bring, is that again, how we define happiness. Happiness means feeling good, right? But if you really look at it, how long would it last? Because there are going to be other feelings that will come up, right? And then happiness will also come up, right? The feeling of joy. We cannot most likely feel happy all the time.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's pretty interesting that you brought that up, because like, I'm like thinking, so my son has autism, and everybody asks like, oh, like, is he a happy boy? And of course he cannot, like, asking any kid actually if to define happiness is so hard. They could say yeah, but you know, like, just the cognitive part of understanding that, I feel like it's like such a difficult question. It seems so simple, and then like for me it's like, I think he is happy because he's living his life every day and he's looking forward to it, so he must be happy. But like, I could never ask him that question.
So you know? when people ask like, is he happy, like, often, you know, they talk about, is he feeling good?
Yeah, I guess so.
But in life, let's say, you know, he does certain activities and he falls, or he finds certain things challenging, right? Expecting him to be happy in those situations, there's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, the first point that I made here is, you know, happiness is the natural state of human beings. But if he's going through some challenges in life and you want him to be happy, it's most likely it's not natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially if he's going through challenges. Like, what you're pointing at is like at that moment he won't be happy, but overall, like, if you catch him on a non-stressful time, he's probably happy, I guess.
Right. Yeah. So if you're talking about, yeah, so time to time he will feel good, but time to time he will, you know, we all will feel other feelings. So that brings up, you know, the next point maybe, you know, I want to make is that we cannot have any negative feelings. That's a myth, right? We're supposed to have a whole range of feelings. So That's very important, because if we constantly trying to feel happy all the time, then we're putting a lot of pressure on ourselves. Now we are, not happy because we are not happy. All right.
Yeah. So I guess if a client comes to you and they were like, keep on mentioning that they want to be more happy, like how would you, I know you mentioned asking them to go to a point that they were happy and exploring that. Is there other ways like to kind of discover that? What if you're kind of depressed and kind of in a hole, and then you're like, oh, should I look for happiness, or should you kind of be like wondering if it's not like you, maybe people do feel like they lost happiness or something. Is that possible? I'm trying to think as a patient, they come to you, Himal, and they're like, oh, I'm so sad, I want to be happy again. How would you get to the point of making them realize that happiness is really up to them?
Well, the thing is, often we would want to explore why they're feeling what they're feeling. If they're feeling sad, what's the reason they're feeling sad? And often it comes down to after exploring, it comes down to this discovery that they have a notion, if you're not happy, then something is wrong with you.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right.
So maybe, like I said, they've lost a loved one. Maybe they're struggling at work. Right? Maybe, they have physical illness. Maybe, they have relationship issues, and they're having all sorts of feelings that are coming up. And with all these aspects in their life, they think something is wrong with them because they're not happy.
I guess this is why having therapy and talking to yourself, Amal, it's kind of nice to kind of bounce those ideas out, because then you kind of go into depth of what they are experiencing at the moment. If that's their end goal, then you could guide them to how to discover happiness again.
So then, then we explore, right? How can we define happiness in a more concrete way?
Mm-hmm.
It's from the Modality ACT, Acceptance and Commitment Therapy. So often, we pull these tools and try to define what happiness is. And it's not just about feeling good. But I would say, the real happiness in living a full, rich, and meaningful life. The full meaning, you have a whole range of emotions and feelings, and you can open yourself up to having those feelings and not get caught up in them, and not trying to push them away, suppress them, judge them, argue with them, right? But also have a sense of acceptance And then focus on things that matters to you, right? So then we can explore who you want to be remembered for, right? And those are your values, right? And then, yes, you're having sadness, but, you know, what is meaningful to you? And have the ability and learn the tools and skills to focus on those things, right? So the problem with, you know, a lot of people that I see is that we have a tendency to fight or fly, you know, away from these challenging feelings and thoughts, right? Because we just want to feel good, right? So we end up suppressing and judging all these other feelings. No, I cannot be sad or I cannot be anxious because that's not a normal thing to do, and it's totally a myth,
right?
If you're going for an interview, you're supposed to have a certain level of anxiety. But what gets problematic is that you push that anxiety away, then the anxiety consumes you. You judge and say, hey, it is not normal to feel that anxiety. I'm supposed to feel happy at that moment. That's, you know, that's usually can be very problematic. Then we get caught up into this cycle. And ultimately this is, you know, often the cause of psychological suffering.
Definitely. Yeah, sometimes it is so hard to get out of that kind of cycle because you've been treating situations and your brain has been allowing that situation to happen. And like negative things happen and your negative thoughts, I don't know why, it's just stickier. It hangs around where like the good stuff is always so hard. You have to work on it to kind of like not allow those sticky stuff to stick around.
Yeah. So that's a very good point, Sally. So we often are sensitive to negative feelings than the positive ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you were to explain it in terms of our context, let's say I give you, you know, if you like a box of chocolate, and I'll give you a box of chocolate, and the amount of happiness you will feel, you know, it will be less than if I were to take away a box of chocolate from you, right? You will feel, yeah, you'll feel, you know, other negative emotions more than if you were to get a box of chocolate, right? So yes, so negative feelings, some often tends to hook us, right? So in ACT we call it fuse us, right? So we want to learn how to diffuse from these feelings, not to ignore them, but to recognize these are feelings that a natural, a normal human being would feel, and then have the ability to focus on things that would matter to you, right? And so that's a way, you know, you can define what happiness is, you know, have the ability to live a full and rich life with all sorts of feelings and not get caught up in them, and then have the ability to focus on things that matter to you.
Definitely. Yeah. And I love how you keep on going back to the modality of the ACT.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit of ACT?
That's right. So ACT is, there are different components, but the premise is, you know, it helps one to become stronger, right, psychologically. So one of the thing is, you know, acceptance, right? So that's one of the part of ACT is acceptance. So accept things that are not in your control, right? So often certain situations are not in our control, right? For example, it's a bit cold today and I wish it was, you know, warmer, right? That's not in my control. So same thing with feelings, right? Certain feelings will show up and we don't have much control over them. Okay, I have never heard anyone came up to me and said, Himal, today I want to feel sad or I want to feel anxious, right? But I know everyone, they once in a while would have these feelings. Right? So know what is in your control and know what is not in your control. So focus on the things that are in your control. So in this case, most of the time, it's your behavior. It's what you do with cold weather, right? Where if you were to go out, wear warmer clothes, right? So it's the same thing. If you have sadness or anxiety showing up, what you do with these feelings, that's probably in your control. But whether these feelings are showing up, that's probably not in your control. So knowing what is in your control and not, you know, and knowing what is not in your control can be beneficial. And that's where the acceptance come from, right? And then often, you know, it's people avoid things, right? So I don't want to be sad, so I'm going to do certain things. Right? And it can work in short term, but in the long term, you can run, but in the long term, there's no hiding. Right? Oh, I'm not going to feel sad if I get this job. And you get this job, sooner or later, sadness will show up. And then ACT also does, like I mentioned, hooking and unhooking. So there are techniques where you can unhook from negative thoughts and feelings. There are also value work. So we explore who you want to be, who are you, you know, who you want to be remembered for, and align your behaviors to those values. Practicing connecting to the present moment. So that's a mindfulness, you know, and derived from mindfulness practice. Right? So not just be lost in the past or be lost in planning for the future, but connect to the present moment, even with your feelings. Yeah, so those are, and also like how we, you know, how we look at feelings. So often, you know, we say, I am happy, I am sad. And if you really think about it, you know, we cannot be happy all the time. So defining I am happy or saying it like that can be problematic sometimes. So often we try to name feelings in a mindful way. So we often say, I feel happy, or happiness showing in my conscious, right? Same thing with sadness, but that's not my identity.
That is so true. No, that's so such a powerful thing. Because yeah, I was just like thinking, I kind of like your example of like going out on the cold. Today is spring, first day of spring, and it is snowing out there. It was, and that's not spring. And then like you said, like, you know, that might make some people sad and angry, you know, you can't help that. It doesn't make sense. But like, I guess what, like you're saying, what ACT is like, letting you figure out once you practice it? And like, what if you have to go to the store and it's snowing? So what can, how can you deal with it? It's like you said, you could put on a heavier coat, like your winter coat, bring it back out. Like, and then you deal with it. You go through your life, going to the store, pick up stuff with your coat. Another person could decide, like, and that at the end, you get your mission done. That's great. Pick. The other thing that somebody could do is maybe not even go out, ignore the cold, stay inside and do it tomorrow when it might be warmer. And then those two different ways are still good, but noticing that, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is like, how, like, at the end of the day, you're still you, and you're, you know, you are, you know, you need to go to the store to get groceries, and, you know, you need to supply your food to your family, if anything, but that shouldn't shift your happiness or your feeling, is what I'm trying to say. Like, you could bump into somebody negative and you could let them make you feel down, but you could always ignore it or something like that.
Yeah, it is, you know, behaviorally, you know, you focus on doing things. Also connect with your feelings. So if it's cold and it's making, you know, sadness is showing up for you, okay, instead of judging it, notice it, because that's normal, you know, as a normal human being, you wanted something and there's a gap between what you wanted and what you have got. So feelings like that will show up. However, not get caught up in those, right? Not ruminate, not spend days and days, you know, judging yourself. Because often what happens, now you feel sad, then you feel sad because you felt sad. Right? So instead, noticing your feelings, accepting them, and then focus on the things that matters, right? So that probably, I say probably, but that is a better definition of happiness, you know, living a full life and a meaningful life. And there are last time I checked, I think there are over 3,000 studies have shown that it works for most people in terms of how to deal with psychological challenges like anxiety and depression. If we were to, you know, define happiness in a different way rather than just, I just want to feel good, because sooner or later, you're not going to feel good, and that will be a trap, and you will trap yourself.
No, that's so true. Like, I agree with that. Like, I think that's like I mentioned before. Like, if anyone is feeling a little bit like stuck on this concept, and they want to work on like understanding that, you know, things could go bad and things do go bad. That's kind of life. But at the same time, if they don't know how to unhook themselves, like you mentioned, and need some direction and need to talk to someone, like Himmel, like, you're a pretty good, great person to talk to about this. And I suggest everybody to talk to you about, like if this is something that you want to work on, like working on making your life feel happier, I guess you could say, like making your work feel worth, your life feel worthwhile. Right. That's what I'm thinking. I guess therapy and talking to somebody like yourself will be the best way to kind of releasing that and unsticking yourself in these situations.
And therapy is not like a magical pill, right? That
Yeah.
you take and then boom, all your problems are gone, right? So therapy is, it takes time, right? You change the way you look at life and it, but if you stick to it, most people will be able to change the trajectory of their life. And
Definitely.
it's and one of the component is how you perceive things, how you look at things. And the simple exercises, I often say, hey, write a journal, right, every day, right? How was your day? What are your worries? And then you can reflect back out of all these things, which ones were in your control and which one weren't. And the ones that you have no control over, right? Is there a point of ruminating about that? Or is it better, healthier to have a sort of acceptance? Right. And often when I say acceptance, it's not about right or wrong. Right. It's about it showed up. So weather today is a little colder. It's not right or wrong. It is how it is. Right. So is it healthier to accept that and then put warmer clothes when I go out, or is it healthy to ruminate and argue and judge and zone out, right? So even things like little things like just writing and then talking to a therapist can be very, very helpful, right? But it's not going to happen in probably one day. It takes time because it's a learning, and you're learning a skill. You're learning how to play the piano. You're learning how to deal with your mind, your feelings, your thoughts, how you look at the world. So, yeah.
Definitely, yeah, and if especially if this is some core belief that you are learned from a young age, like if this is part of your culture or if it's something that you were kind of taught, like oh, I just forgot the word, not groomed, but I guess like if there was a certain way that you were learned and grown up and I don't know why, but like what you believe is like, oh, this is the, like it's like learning a new language. It's like your brain cannot like learn so quickly because you have to kind of reteach your brain to say, oh, this is how, like those are words. And like what I'm trying to say is like therapy and like going through this is kind of like trying to. It'll take time because it's like teaching a bad habit to become better or something like that.
So, of course, the habits and the thoughts and the feelings, they're all correlated, right? And then situation happens and the thoughts will show up, the feelings will show up. So situation, thoughts, and feelings often we don't have much control over, right? What we have control over is what we do with them. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, happiness can be, defined as, how we deal with our thoughts, feelings, and certain situation. Or It is the openness to feel the whole range of emotion and live a full life, right? And then focus on the things that can be meaningful.
That was so poetic.
I guess it's poetic, and it's different, right? It's different than just feeling good. Right? So yeah,
that was so lovely, Himal. And everybody, please, if you want to like work on happiness and talk to Himal, he is wonderful, and he's on side mood. Please book a session with him. He's amazing, as you could hear. And thank you, Himal, for joining. And I hope you come back and talk more about other different things with me in the future.
Thank you, Sally. You know, thank you for having me here. It was really nice seeing you after so long. And to everyone, thank you for listening.
Thank you, everyone.
SciMood is an online mental health platform that connects you with mental health specialists who speaks your language and understand your culture. You can find us at our website at SciMood.com and on our social media channels on Instagram, X, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn at MySciMood. Don't forget to follow, like, and share, and comment. Thank you for existing.